All right, and welcome to Radio Free Nintendo right here on NintendoWorldReport.com. It's the week of Game Developers Conference, and we are happy. We've got two guests tonight. One of them is reviews editor Johnny Metz.
I can't feel my hands.
Uh-oh. And second up, he hasn't been on RFN in quite a while, Mike Gammon, otherwise known as Pale, and Bucket Hat McGee.
Hey, what's up?
we got plenty of stuff to do, so let's get right into it. So, Pale, what's your plan?
What's my plan? What am I playing?
Oh, what are you
man,
playing?
I'm playing Pokemon Leaf Green, as pathetic
Boo.
As that is. I'm prepping for Diamond and Pearl.
What is there to prep for? It's going to be the same game you've been putting out for 10 years.
I want to test the link.
That's why he's playing
I'm
a
10-year-old sorry.
Game to prepare for it.
But come
on.
Well,
so, yeah. Yeah, got anything to back it up? I mean, it is a very old system that doesn't really hold up anymore.
I don't know. I disagree that it doesn't hold up. I think if you can find a single soul out there who hasn't played it before, I think it's still a pretty strong RPG. I'm still a fan. I'm looking forward to Diamond and Pearl. They're going to bring back a lot of the stuff that made Gold and Silver probably the best mm-hmm. generation of the
Well,
all,
I do agree so. With that. Gold and Silver were really good games when they came out.
What are they bringing back?
The day-night cycle, mm-hmm. so that the different Pokemon will be out, and it's based on the DS internal clock. That's the main thing they're bringing back. They've added a bunch of other cool stuff. The male and the female Pokemon look slightly different. I don't know. It's just kind of adds to the whole thing a bit.
Are there going to be battle animations?
Because
I think that would be a pretty major step forward for the series after all these years.
Yeah, not really. The overlays of like what the attack happening to the opponent are supposed to be more detailed, but other than that,
more detailed overlays. That's on the feature list on the.
Well, I think the first Pokemon to have battle animations is going to be Battle Revolution.
Yeah, and I've seen the videos of that, and it looks good. And you know, I don't watch it and cringe at the thought of little kids seeing these animals attack each other because it's not that violent looking.
Right.
See, I'm still a little worried, because I've seen some videos that it seems to get the whole, you watch the one Pokemon do the move, and then it cuts to the other, and you don't actually see the connection. I don't know, I don't necessarily buy that it's going to be as great as everybody thinks as far as the actual Pokemon interacting with
Maybe
each other.
Maybe you can turn that on or off if you have, like, very sensitive children. That might explain why you can see it in some videos and not others.
Yeah,
we'll have to wait for the blood code.
Anything else you're Is there anything else that you're playing, pal?
I'm still working through FF12 for PS2.
Cool.
That's about it.
Where are you right now?
Oh, pretty early still. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh my god, spoiler alert.
Yeah, I'm getting near the end, but I've still got a lot of side quests, which I'm not sure if I'll go through them or not.
Well, other than FF12, what are you playing, Johnny?
I've been still playing Guitar Hero 2, mm-hmm. and not a whole lot other than that. I'm actually supposed to get Meteos Disney Edition today, I think. Either today or Monday, so mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that. I played a lot of the first one, which
oh,
I
yeah.
imported actually back in the DS doldrums of early 2005.
Absolutely. Good game.
Oh, man. I love Meteos. So I've been, you know, some of the things that they've changed in the second one worry me a little bit. The Disney motif, whatever, I don't care that much about it, but it does bother me that apparently they've taken out the rocket blasting off element of the game. So now when you make a match, they just disappear. And there was one planet like that in the original, but they kind of counteracted that by the fact that the field was really large, so it was hard to keep up with all the different columns, and that stage also had more types of tiles than any other stage, so it was really hard to make a match, but once you did actually make a match, they were just gone. But I think part of the fun and the excitement and the challenge of Meteos is dealing with the gravity and having mm-hmm. to lift these things off and then boost them up with additional pieces and things like that, and it sounds like that's completely taken out of the new one, so that worries me.
Can't you also move the blocks horizontally now?
Yeah, and I think that's an odd choice. It's definitely going to make it easier for people, and that kind of goes along with the Disney theme, I guess. But mm-hmm. You can only do that in like the easy and the normal difficulties, and then there are a couple other difficulties higher than that where you can only move up and down like in the original.
All right. I mean, so I don't think how bad could it be? It's still Meteos.
Right, exactly. And I do like the idea that you hold it sideways like Hotel Dusk or Brain Training, because that gives you, that fits the form factor of the gameplay a lot better. So it'll be cool. I'm looking forward to trying it out.
As for what I'm playing, I'm not going to go too deep into it because we're going to be talking about these games later on in the show, but I played Ocarina of Time for a virtual console for the VC Mondays feature this week, which, you know, it's the same game that we've had for like a decade now, so for better or for worse, that's what it is. I mean, there's no rumble, which is kind of disappointing, but, you know, it wasn't such a huge part of the game that it's much of a detriment.
You couldn't even get it until like halfway through the game anyway.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm not...
Yeah, I don't even think totally I had optional. Rumble when I played.
Yeah, it's really not much of a detriment at all. That being said, if you already own it in some fashion, like if you have it on the GameCube, you know, then I wouldn't really recommend it. But if you've got it on the N64, then, you know, you might not want to pull out your N64, blow the dust off, put it in the cart, see if the cart still works. You know, you might not want to have to deal with that kind of crap. So, if so, $10 isn't that much to pay for a classic game. So, I guess that's why I gave it a recommend it for everyone. Other than that, been playing a shit ton of SSX Blur.
Yeah, good. It's good.
It's so good. It's so good. I said this in the forums, but it's a bit hyperbolic, but I'll say it again here. There is no Wii drought because SSX Blur is here.
Okay. Fair enough.
But yeah, fair enough. Hey, yeah. Well, Mike unfortunately could not be here. Mike Sklens. He's out getting syphilis, I think.
It's that damn hat he always wears.
And so he can't talk about SSX, which is a shame because he's kind of like the series vet, whereas I'm newer to the series, so we can't have that, you know, off and on. But but I can still talk a little bit about it, but I will be doing that later on in the show. So let's move on to our community section. Like I was saying, Ocarina of Time came out on VC this Monday, or last Monday actually. But there were two other games. One of them was Chew Man Fu on the TurboGrafx-16. I've heard it's kind of racist. I don't know.
Well, I've heard. I think it's mainly the title of the game that is, right? I mean, I don't know if the game itself is.
Apparently, a Chinese guy steals your egg rolls.
Oh, snap. Okay. Well,
yeah.
On the plus side, I've heard that it's insanely fun. And one of these days when I'm sitting around and I have a few points to burn, and that's probably a game that I'll think... That and Solomon's Key are kind of waiting in the wings. And one day when I just have no self-control, I'll probably download one of them.
You know, get a little drunk, go on to the Virtual Console store, say, hey, it's Chew Man Fu.
If I'm a little drunk, I'll probably get on the Opera browser, not the store channel.
Anyway, and then the other one, you actually did the VC Mondays write-up for this one, Johnny. Yep. Biohazard Battle.
Yeah, it's a lot like R-Type or Gradius, and actually, it reminds me a lot of Darius Twin, which is a Super NES game. And Darius was like a whole really long series of side-scrolling shooter games in Japan, but I think Darius Twin for Super Nintendo was the only one that ever came to America. And it was like this weird... It was almost the same thing as Gradius, except that every enemy in the game was a kind of a fish or some kind of crustacean. And Biohazard Battle is very similar. You have a lot of insects mixed in there also, but everything is biological in nature. But it's still, you know, pretty interesting patterns. You have a lot of different weapons. You can upgrade them multiple times. You have four different ships, and they're slightly different in the way they control and which weapons they can get. So there's a lot of variety to it. I mean, it's a short shoot 'em up game. They're all short, pretty much. Mm-hmm. It's fairly challenging, and I think the only really knock against it is that it's just not... There's not a whole lot to separate it from the 20 other shoot 'em ups that are already on Virtual Console. Uh-huh. But if you're way into that genre and you've already bought all the other ones, then there's nothing wrong with this one. There's not, you know, it's a fine game.
Well, aren't there better shoot 'em ups on the Wii?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there is actually an overabundance of vertical or horizontal shooters on Virtual Console, which is surprising because, you know, on Nintendo's consoles there aren't too many, but on, I guess, on the TurboGrafx there are a ton. And I think there are a few on the Genesis too.
Yeah, and there were quite a few on Super Nintendo. Like I said, R-Type 3 is already out, and Gradius 3, I think, is already out in Japan, or it's going to be soon, and I'm sure that will be coming to America before long. And Gradius 3 is a fantastic game. I actually had that on Super Nintendo back in the day, and it's awesome. So
cool.
You know, if you're interested in trying a game like that, but you're not sure about Biohazard Battle, just hang on for a little bit. Try Gradius, because it's a nice... It's kind of like an iconic game in the genre, and it's also not obscenely hard like R-Type 3. So,
And then, last up is Ocarina, which I've already talked about a bit. And, you know, it's a good game, you know? It's Ocarina.
Well, thanks for that. No, it's an awesome game. But if you own a Wii, dude, you probably already have Twilight Princess. Yeah. And guess what? It's a lot better than Ocarina.
Oh,
and
snap.
If you have never played Ocarina and you have played Twilight Princess, I don't think your trip backwards in gaming history will be a very pleasant one.
I don't know about that. I mean, I'm actually playing Twilight right now, and I got into Ocarina fairly easily.
But you've played it before, right?
I have, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If you don't have any nostalgia for Ocarina, then I think it might be difficult to go back and play it if you've already played through Twilight Princess, because it's basically the same game, but Ocarina is a lot more crude,
and
it
muddy.
Was, you know, the first couple years of Nintendo trying to do 3D and
smeared with Vaseline.
Well, I heard it looks better on Wii, actually, that they kind of
took
that
out. Oh, no, it's the high-def GameCube version, so
yeah.
The textures are a lot better, and the polygons are a bit sharper, but it still looks... It still looks like there's a huge film over the TV.
You guys think we'll still see Master Quest in some form on Virtual Console?
No.
We don't
I think
to,
they should
man.
Have just released it from the get-go with it. I don't know.
Did you play Master Quest?
I played, like, the first hour of Zelda of it, and then I was just like, man, this is pretty close to the same.
It's exactly like...
That's why they won't release it.
I think I got to Jabu Jabu, and I just realized that the dungeons are not dramatically different. You know, they're basically just harder and more annoying, and the rest of the game is exactly the same, and I just didn't feel like playing through the rest of it, because I'd played it pretty recently before that came out, so I'm not holding my breath for Master Quest, because it's just not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I played very little. I mean, I've played it, but my playtime is probably under 2 hours of A Link to the Past, so I need to play that eventually, but I've got too many games on my plate right now, so I will get back to that. But that's definitely the Zelda that I've got my eye on right now, because I've already played through. Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's... Yeah.
I've heard it's...
Link to the Past is my favorite game of all time, easily.
Yeah.
It will always be.
It's freaking awesome.
Well, you know, I was kind of too young to really get into Super Nintendo, you know, and obviously with the NES, I'm way too young to get into the NES. You know, Zelda, the first one, came out 2 years before I was even born. So,
man, that's great.
So yeah, which is probably why I'm not a big fan of it. Yeah. So yeah, so
I already finished the second quest of Zelda 1 on Virtual Console.
Really?
And I loved every minute.
Wow. Yeah, so I'm definitely going to pick up A Link to the Past eventually, and you know, cuz I've already played through Ocarina, I've already played through Majora, I've already played through Wind Waker and such. So Link to the Past really looks like that gem that I really want to get into.
Yeah, and I think unlike Ocarina, Link to the Past is like actually more different from the Zelda games that followed than Ocarina is from Twilight Princess. It's got a weird character to it that's never really been replicated, I don't think. And also just it's so different because it's in 2D. I don't think you're going to be disappointed to go back and play through Link to the Past like you might be with Ocarina.
Mm-hmm. Really, I thought the most different of the Zeldas was Majora's Mask.
No, Majora's Mask is mechanically identical to Ocarina of Time. It's just the way the story is told and the way the dungeons are laid out is a lot different. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot better than Ocarina.
Thematically, you mean?
What?
So you mean it's like thematically different?
It is, yeah. It's like a weird twist. It's like a weird Alice in Wonderland kind of twist on what you would expect. Mm-hmm. And for that, it's awesome. But mechanically, I think you'll find Link to the Past is a lot more interesting. Yeah.
Hmm. All right, let's get into our listener mail. First up tonight, we have a email here from someone whose name I can't really pronounce, but I'm just going to take a shot at it. Javon, I guess, he talks to us today about our thoughts on the Prince of Persia movie last week. He says, concerning the possible Prince of Persia movie, why is it automatically assumed that the prince will be played by a white guy? The prince is clearly not European, Eastern, or Western. Where does that put him then?
Central.
Aded Fair of The Mummy would be a good candidate. He played Ardith Bey, even if he is a little too old for the part. I think Farah should be played by one of Bollywood stars, since Farah is East Indian. Even when I played Sands of Time, I couldn't help but wince at the English accents. It just sounded pretentious, in my humble opinion. Imagine a Wild West game where the protagonist has a French accent for no reason. At least in Eternal Darkness, the voice actor who did Kareem was respectable. I'll spare you the tirade rant on race representation in video games. That's for another time. So what do you guys think? Should he be someone of authentic Middle Eastern descent, or do you think Hollywood will just be like, let's get Orlando Bloom?
I think it's funny that this guy who's all worried about movies has the word Evan in it.
His name is Javon.
It's Evan with a J.
I know.
Yeah. You know, when I was on the podcast last week when we were talking about this, and I said, you know, I wish I could throw out the name of a Persian actor who could do this, but I just don't know any. And that's the thing. The movie is being produced by Jerry Bruckheimer.
Oh, yeah.
It's being made in Hollywood. I can pretty much guarantee you will not have a real Persian playing the prince. And that's kind of, you know, that's why we were talking about, you know, maybe English, Australian, maybe even American actors who could pull it off. And again, the character of the prince in the game is not portrayed as being particularly Persian anyway. I mean, all the characters speak with English accents. They don't,
right?
You know, it's that's why it's so obvious to go to someone like, in my opinion, Viggo Mortensen or Orlando Bloom or somebody like that to play him, because that fits the representation that's in the video game. I'm not saying the representation in the video game is good to begin with, but yeah, that's what it is, and that's what they're basing the movie off of. So,
I mean, throw some Pirates of the Caribbean makeup on anybody, and they'll look Persian enough.
You know, and here's the deal also. I mean, the Persian Empire is now Iran.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a nation that's particularly friendly with America, where this movie is being made. And
right,
it's not very likely that you're going to get one of Iran's top film actors to come to America and make this movie. So, you know, yeah, you kind of have to try to think outside of that. I'm sure there are exiles or just, you know, naturalized Iranians here in America who could do it, but I don't know any of their names. I mean, the guy from The Mummy, yeah, I think he would be pretty good, for sure.
Maybe.
But there just aren't that many, so it's not it's not a conspiracy here. It's a matter of practicality.
Yeah, and I mean, for good or bad, you can't hide the fact that 95% of the people aren't going to care.
Yeah, very
about
true.
We're going to go like see the movie.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, have you seen Schindler's List? You know, all the people in that movie speak English.
Very true.
I mean, it upsets me. It does. Like, when I see, I mean, we have this even in our reviews of, like, the Call of Duty games that take place in Europe, and all of the characters, no matter what country they're from, speak English with a weird accent, basically, even when they're speaking amongst themselves. It's, you know, it would be a lot more authentic if they spoke in their native languages and we had English subtitles for the English-speaking audience, but people are lazy. They don't want to deal with that. I mean, do you honestly think they're going to film the Prince of Persia movie in Farsi?
No.
It's not happening. No, I mean, yeah. In fact, I can almost guarantee you that the person they choose to play the prince will not speak a word of Farsi.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he goes on to say, P.S., why do you guys pick on Carl so much? He makes good points, but the man loves to keep him down. Carl, if you're reading this, you don't have to take that crap. Stick it to the man, Carl. And I say, hells yeah.
Wow. We're gonna have to beep that, man. You know,
I am gonna have to beep that.
PG-13 podcast.
Yeah, I know. Now, Stan's done it for Wendy before, and Chris Kohler is cursed on this podcast, so I can do it too.
Okay.
And we've got one more listener question here from Voodoo. This is a question I'd like to pose to Obi. Uh-oh.
Could I'll play the role of Obi.
Okay.
Let me shuffle in my seat here and drink a couple.
Start liking emo bands, and you'll just nail it.
Yeah, man. Where's my freaking moose?
Could you please discuss your feelings about SSX Blur? I have absolutely no experience with the series, but I find myself interested in the game. If for no other reason than the new control scheme, would you recommend SSX Blur to someone who has never played a snowboarding game? Do you feel the new Wii controls are better than, worse than, or just different than the traditional controls? Since I've never played an SSX game, I have no qualms about the recycled levels or characters. Thank you, Voodoo. Yeah, I guess, am I the only one who's played SSX Blur?
I haven't played it, but I can say categorically that it sucks.
What? No. Yeah, I like I said earlier in the show, I've played SSX a lot, and although my time with the series has been limited, I actually just played a little bit of SSX 3 for my first time today. I was at a friend's house, and we played Blur for about 3 hours, and he's like, you know, I just got 3, and it's very different. And it is very different. Like, it's much more combo-oriented. The tricks that you can do right off the bat, since you do them with the analog sticks, are a bit more, they're a bit more exaggerated. Like, I guess, like, you can do more stuff as it, like, right off the bat in 3, and there is a little bit more content, but I can tell you right now that Blur is an excellent game. You know, you say you've never played a snowboarding game before. Well, neither did I, and I freaking love it.
Carl, so, have you had any trouble doing the Uber tricks?
Oh, no. See, here's the thing about that, because I think that a lot of the people who reviewed it missed a little thing in the menu that lets you practice the drawing of an Uber trick.
I don't know. I read in GameSpot's review, he mentioned that feature, and he said you can practice it 30 times, and you still won't be able to do it consistently.
Well, I actually... You know, like I said, I've only put about, you know, less than 10 hours, like maybe 8 hours, and I can perform an Uber trick every time.
Are you saying that guy sucks at video games?
I'm saying that guy sucks at video games. Who did the review? Do you know? Was it Jeff Gertzman?
No, it was another guy, Brian something, I can't remember.
Yeah, because, you know, Jeff Gertzman was the infamous 8.8 for Twilight Princess guy, so I'm thinking maybe there's a pattern there.
I think Jeff is actually really good at video games. The problem is he just doesn't like Zelda. Yeah, I think that's weird. I think he felt like he wanted Zelda to be more like Oblivion or something, and...
Could be.
That's never going to happen.
Funny thing, though, a friend of mine, this is off topic, but we were playing Twilight Princess, and he's like, you know, this is so much like Oblivion, if only it had better graphics.
Did you slap him?
I did, and then I threw him out of my house.
Good. That's what he deserves.
But, yeah, Blur is an excellent, excellent, excellent game. You know, it's so worth $50. You know, it's the Wii's going through a little bit of a drought right now, and it's a great game for single player. It's a great game for multiplayer. The frame rate does not drop in multiplayer, at least it hasn't in my experience, which is very great, because another game that I was playing recently, DBZ Budokai Tenkaichi 2, has a dramatic frame rate drop in multiplayer. So yeah, Blur, as a game that it looks like was made ground up for the Wii. Is definitely a worthy addition to the library. The graphics are pretty good, above GameCube level, although it doesn't look as good as the standout awesome games like Resident Evil 4, but it still looks like, okay, this is a game that I wouldn't normally see on the GameCube.
Cool.
So the graphics are definitely pretty, pretty good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's basically SSX Blur, so get it, enjoy it, love it. That wraps us up for community. We'll be back in a second.
This segment was sponsored by EA
Games. This segment was sponsored by EA Games, who I am in the pocket of. Oh, man. I just love SSX Blur so much. Fap, fap, fap.
Money hats.
All right. Next up, we're going to be talking about the news, so see you on the other side of this commercial break. I'm not sure how many of you know this, but this week marks 8 years that NintendoWorldReport.com has been around. Sure, there have been a few name changes, more than a couple directors, but the same attitude that got this boat afloat back in 1999 still fuels us on to bring you the best in Nintendo-related coverage. Now, I myself haven't been around since the beginning, but with years under my belt, I'd like to think I know a little something about working here. So believe me when I say that this place is more than just a website. It's a family. So let's all raise our glasses and give a toast to the old girl. Cheers, everybody, and here's to another 8. And we're back for the news. First up today, it came out recently that there will be no Nintendo news at GDC concerning future plans. How much of a bummer is this?
I'm still looking forward to all the news about their previous old plans.
Oh, man. What are they going to do to follow up Ocarina of Time? I'm so excited.
Guys, guess how much DS sold. That's what we're going to
hear. What?
Yeah, it's going to be lots of George Harrison pointing at pie charts and saying, ah, oh, money!
No offense to George Harrison, but his stuff is the most boring part of every conference.
Not if you're an investor.
Which I'm not.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you go there for the Reggie and a little bit of a Wada, and if Miyamoto's there, you're always up for that. But, you know, George Harrison, eh. At least they don't put Parent Kaplan much on stage. Because then it would just be a bunch of Jedi mind tricks.
Man, I like Perrin. She's a nice lady, but it's hard to do a worthwhile interview with her. It really is. It's just, one time I was interviewing her up at Nintendo headquarters in Seattle, and I had this list of questions that I thought were extremely provocative and like to the point. And I was like, I'm totally gonna, you know, like I'm like I may never get to interview her again. I'm gonna just do it right the first time, you know. And she just casually brushed them aside. I mean, that's the way she does it. You sit down and she's like, oh, aren't you cute? You're just, you know, I could be your mom. It's like, yeah, okay. And then I ask her all these really straightforward questions, and she just, like, laughs and says, ha-ha, I'm not going to talk about
that. Oh, look at you. You're so cute trying to be a journalist.
So silly. You can't ask me that.
Although, did you see her recently on the 1UP show?
No.
She went crazy. She was cursing up a storm.
Wow. Okay.
Really?
Really?
Really. Check it out.
Okay. I will.
But no news at GDC. This kind of, you know, if for people who don't know what the root of this problem is, it's that there's a stockholders meeting soon. There's going to be a stock trade happening. And per Japanese law, you can't announce upcoming products or plans before that conference is over.
Yeah, by the way, it's the same in American law as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of
so basically, Nintendo has their hands tied legally, you know, not to say anything. Whether or not this affects the Miyamoto keynote is unknown at this time. So
I know this originated over at Chris Kohler.
Yeah, Game Life.
Wired.
Yeah.
Did he have to dig for it? I don't know. The in denial part of me is wondering if Nintendo is just trying to like lower expectations.
No, what happened was I can tell you that this came from conversations with Nintendo PR in the process of trying to book interviews and things. And actually, they told us the same thing, but it wasn't very clear to us what it meant. And then when Chris ran his story, we called them back and said, "Hey, is this like the extent of is this for real?" And they just confirmed it, and basically that's how we set up our news story about it.
Yeah, that's a huge.
So this comes from
bonus.
Nintendo PR basically telling us, "Hey, by the way, we can set up these interviews for you guys, but they're not going to be able to talk about what they're working on right now, basically, or whatever hasn't already been announced."
You know, luckily, I don't think this will affect one of the two big keynotes that I really have my eyes on, which is Keiichi Yano's, and it shouldn't affect Suda 51's. So, you know, at least those won't be affected, because with Keiichi Yano, Nintendo is publishing Owen Don 2, but I don't think that law really applies to games that are already announced, so I don't think that'll be a big deal.
Well, they haven't, I mean, I don't know, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm guessing that he's not really going to be able to talk about any kind of details or any differences between Owen Don 2 and the first one, or between that and Elite Beat Agents. I think he's mainly going to be talking in retrospect about Elite Beat Agents.
Could be. Well, which is still pretty cool. I mean, I'm still kind of interested to see that. So, but, you know, it's funny because Microsoft is not going to have a keynote at all. They're just having a little session, like a little roundtable thing with like Sakaguchi, I think, is going to be there. And I think Peter Molyneux is going to be there. But it's just going to be, like, did you guys see that thing that Phil Harrison from Sony did with Engai Kroll? At DICE, I think it's going to be something like similar to that, where it's really just going to be more of a casual conversation in front of an audience, like a roundtable kind of thing. So I don't think we're going to see too much out of Microsoft, at least not as far as first party goes. Sony, though, they're going to freaking, it's going to be like a zeitgeist. So, yeah,
what
watch out for that. I think it's going to be like, well, I think a better word would have been a Blitzkrieg. I think that was the word I was looking for.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Zeitgeist, I think I just used it in there.
Well, we already know what the big announcement for Sony's going to be.
Yeah, the home thing.
Home thing, right?
And
I mean, what else can they have?
Yeah, basically, I think they're going to do a lot of stuff with PSN. And maybe show off, you know, is Warhawk now confirmed as a downloadable?
Yeah, IGN had a story about it.
Okay, so they're probably going to talk about that a little bit.
You know, this whole PlayStation Home thing, I'm not very impressed by it at all. I think it seems like a fine idea, but is that going to convince people who are on the fence about PS3? I don't think so.
No.
It's not really addressing what, you know, what people are complaining about with PS3.
I don't know. But what I'm getting at here is basically you know, with Nintendo kind of, they have their hands out here, it's really just going to leave Sony to beat them up. So yeah, I don't think we're gonna see a similar thing that we saw at E3, which was, you know, Nintendo dominance. Okay, next up on the docket, Naruto Clash of Ninja 3, or you know, as it's known in Japan, Naruto Gekitu Ninja Taisen, is the third iteration, which was on GameCube in Japan. In America, will be on Wii. Nintendo Power had the scoop with their latest issue. They talked to D3 Publisher of America, and yeah. The next Clash of Ninja will be on Wii, which is cool. You know, I'm sure they're still gonna have classic controls, so you can play the old.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those Naruto fans who watches the American version and I get shunned.
Oh,
well,
I watch
everybody,
it too.
So I'm excited because,
you know, and
I'm not far enough. I don't want to import the games because then I'll get the spoiler.
Well,
I've never seen the episode.
I read the manga, so I watch it just because I'm a fan. So yeah, I'm an anime nerd. What are you gonna do about it?
Well, the good thing for this, to me, from coming from my perspective as not caring whatsoever about Naruto as an anime or a manga, mm-hmm. for goodness sake, is that the first two games in this series were kind of lackluster, I think, by most accounts, and the third one in particular really ramped it up to the next level and like made it. A lot of people consider the third one to be one of the best games on GameCube, and the fourth one especially. Ty Sugart has said that Naruto Gekitu Taisen 4 is better than Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Really?
And that's an insane comment to make. So well, I'm really eager for it to come out in America so I can try it and see if he's right, you know? And I'm glad that these are coming out in America and that they're doing it in a way that will give them a chance to be financially viable, because I think releasing them on GameCube would be pretty risky. And mm-hmm. I understand why they couldn't do it earlier because of the syncing up of the series and the games, but
right.
I'm glad it's coming out, you know?
Well, here's the thing about Clash of Ninja.
It sounds like
there is a secret depth to it. In that if you play it for just a little while, it's not that impressive. Mm-hmm. But once you start playing it hardcore, you know, Mike, maybe you know about this because you reviewed the second one, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And,
I played
the
second one quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah, and if you really start to put a lot of time in it, you see that the depth comes in from, like, the counterattack system and the dodging system. And if you get two people who really know how to play the game together, it will be really cool to watch. it's definitely... So when Ty says something like it's better than Smash Brothers for the fourth iteration, I believe him.
Yeah, and
because
I
really
know,
is very good.
Yeah, and I know that Ty had some really good players to play against because he sent me some videos once, and I had no idea what was going on, but it looked like they were both really good at it.
Yeah, isn't Ty like Mr. Fighting Game?
Well, yeah.
So yeah. Let's see.
It'd be interesting if the fourth comes out for Wii at the same time as Brawl comes out. It's kind of close.
I don't know. I mean, because 3 still has a while before it comes out. So I think we won't see 4 until like late this year, if not like, you know, quarter 1 08 maybe. Let's see. Next up here, Tomonobu Itagaki, who you will know as the head honcho over at Team Ninja. He created Dead or Alive. He was in charge of Ninja Gaiden on the Xbox. He is, quote-unquote, interested in Wii development. He said that in an interview with GameLive's Chris Kohler, who seems to be getting a lot of play on this podcast, even when he's not here. So yeah, Itagaki on Wii. Good or not good?
It's good for the system. I could care less though myself, but
you know, and when I put up the news story on the site, I said, "Does this mean Dead or Alive is coming to Wii?" And you know, in all honesty, it probably won't be, because unless he ports one of the Xbox games over, but I don't think he will. You know, Dead or Alive really is. It hasn't always kind of been on the softer side of fighting games, anyway.
It's kind of like the Japanese version of Mortal Kombat. It's very provocative, but not actually all that good.
Yeah, so. It's like the serious players play Virtual Fighter, and you know, the newbies play Dead or Alive.
Yeah, it's so. I mean, obviously he's also done now two so-called volleyball games.
maybe.
I'm going to resist all dirty jokes about putting those on Wii. What I would be a lot more excited about is, you know, they're currently doing a PS3 port of Ninja Gaiden?
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden Sigma.
Yeah, it's Gaiden. And you know, that game, being it started on Xbox, we know fairly certainly that Wii is considerably more powerful than the original Xbox. I would like to see them continue this and bring a version of Ninja Gaiden over to Wii. Because actually Ninja Gaiden is one of maybe three games that almost, like, at various times almost encouraged me to buy an Xbox. I never did, because most of the games I could care less about. I'm not a Halo fan, but Ninja Gaiden is that kind of game that it's kind of like Devil May Cry or something like that, and I would love to play it. I've never played it, so.
As what I've heard, it's like ridiculously hard.
Yeah, but also ridiculously good.
So, yeah, maybe. A port of Ninja Gaiden would be... Gaiden, sorry.
Old habits die hard.
would be cool, and, you know, it's not like the... But, yeah, who are we kidding here? The Wii, a port machine? Get out of here.
I'm trying to be realistic here. I don't actually expect him to develop a new game for Wii.
Right.
And I'm not sure it would be good if he did.
Yeah, and speaking of ports... Data Designs announced 12 Wii games this week.
Wow.
I think it was Dan who called it a pile of shovelware. I was going to use another word for it, but then I said, I'll go back. There is one, however, diamond in the rough, and that game is Ninja Bread Man.
Greatest name ever.
Ever! Oh my god, I am on this review like syrup on pancakes. Okay? The premise is as follows. A gingerbread man, right? Right? Get it? He's also a ninja. Thus, Ninja Bread Man.
Didn't they do this in Shrek 2?
Doesn't matter.
Oh.
That's what I keep
thinking. And I think it's a port of a PS2 game, but I don't care about that either. Because... it is called Ninja Bread Man, and that's all you need.
Well, are we even sure they're coming out
for
here?
For Europe? I mean, yeah, it is European, but I believe.
Carl has faith in the Ninja Bread Man. You know, when this press release first came out, I glanced at it. I didn't read the whole thing. And then I saw Dan's headline for the article. And I was like, Dan, that seems a little harsh, don't you think? You haven't played any of these games, and you're already labeling them as shovelware. And he says... Dude, there are like four kart racers in that group. And I mean, it's kind of pathetic, actually. Just the descriptions of the games are terrifying in how generic they are. So, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, according to KDR and some of the other Europeans that are in the forums, they said that they've been available for PC for like $4.99 in bins over there.
Get Dag on these on these reviews right away.
You know, maybe they'll if they're like $5 games on the PC, if that's the retail price, then maybe these are going to be downloadable.
No, I doubt it.
Oh
yeah, well,
they have box art on the website.
I guess they're doomed.
Yeah. Okay. And speaking of ports again. Id Software is interested in taking their old brands, I guess meaning like Quake or older stuff like that, and putting that on the Wii, because they can't put their Doom 3 engine stuff on, even though they shoehorned Doom 3 onto Xbox. But
yeah, they could.
They could, but that would be kind of an effort, I think, and I don't think they want to make the effort.
Yeah, well, Doom 3 looks like rubber anyway, so...
Maybe that's what Ninja Bread Man needs, the Doom 3 engine. So, yeah, I don't know. John, did you say there were some of their older games that you would want to see on Wii?
Yeah, man, it made a lot of stuff back in the day. You know, they were responsible for Doom and Quake and all the different versions of those, but they also had games like, I think they did Hexen. They did a lot of first-person shooters and a few other games, too, mm-hmm. so... and I think they were talking about their old brands, but they're also talking about modifying their older engines. And for that matter, I think the Doom 3 engine, they might even consider an older engine now, because they've moved on beyond that now.
Have they?
Probably, yeah. But I can see them taking some of the technology from around that time period and making it work on Wii, and then they kind of talked about licensing that out to other developers, which would be pretty exciting because that's probably a big step up from a lot of the engines and the middleware that's currently available on Wii. I mean, you know, you're seeing every single week you see another company is starting to use the Unreal Engine 3 for PS3 and 360 development. You don't really have anything like that on Wii. So if we could get something akin to like a Wii version of the Doom 3 engine, except not as rubberized, that would be nice that you could kind of bring a lot of these developers in and give them something to use like that and so they could make games.
Oh, yeah, totally. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that should wrap us up for news. And so we'll be back after this commercial break with our feature segment.
With the Wii now out, one thing remains very certain about the state of dancing. It must be translated to a video game. Simply must, whether it is Samba de Amigo or Dance Dance Revolution, the Wii must be the home of dancing salsa on the home consoles. So that one day I, Antonio Banderas lookalike, may be able to share a glass of wine, a nice dinner, and then home for some nice Wii dancing. This must happen. That is why I have hijacked this episode of Radio Free Nintendo. Now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
All right, we're back from our second commercial break. Our feature segment tonight discusses Nintendo franchises that still haven't come to DS and why we want them there. I'm going to start with you, Johnny.
Okay, my number one is Super Smash Brothers, and I totally think this would work on the DS. It could be maybe like a cross between the original Smash Brothers and Melee. And one thing that certainly has to come up is like, how would you play without the joystick? And it's not that Smash Brothers is a terribly analog game in terms of the way you move, but there's a question of like, how do you do the smash attacks? I think in some way you could probably still pull them off by using the D-pad and the buttons, just basically the same way you do on Melee. But I think a more interesting way would be, and maybe this would be optional, would be to use a touchscreen for smashes. So basically you'd play with the D-pad and the buttons, but then when you want to do a smash, you reach over with one of your thumbs and you swipe in the direction that you want to smash. And I think this would be, it would kind of like add a little delay to it, kind of like charging up a smash in Melee, but it's not easy to break, basically. Like, you couldn't easily play just by keeping a finger on it and just swiping all over the place like you can with a C-stick. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't work that well. So, I think that would be cool. You could definitely have Wi-Fi multiplayer, at least for a couple players, if not for four. Graphics, I don't think would be any big problem, and
3D or 2D.
You know, you could throw in a lot of cheesy mini games where you blow into the microphone, yada yada yada. Whatever.
I'd love to see it. I'd love to see a sprite based Smash.
You really want it 2D?
I don't know if they'd do it. I think it'd be cool. I don't know. I feel like 3D wouldn't be able to run as fast or as smooth as Melee did, so I would never be happy with it. But
what I would like is 3D character models on a 2D plane. On like a 2D. Background, kind of like New Super Mario Brothers. I think that would.
Yeah.
New like Super on, Mario like, Brothers has 3D backgrounds. It's played on a 2D plane, and so are all the other Smash Brothers games.
But wasn't a lot of stuff in there 2D?
No.
No? I don't know where I read that, but whatever. Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about here. Yeah, I have. maybe I'm just blind. I don't know. I think I read it and then just believed it.
You know, I've played it and I would have just gone along with
yeah,
Carl.
So, yeah, so.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, totally. RFN, always prepared.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what I would like to see, which is a 2D background, but with 3D character models.
Sure, yeah.
I think that would run smoothly. And, you know, if all of the 3D stuff was just put into character models, then it wouldn't have, like, really bad textures and all that good stuff. So I think it could work there. Now, do I want to see Smash Brothers on the DS in general? Eh, not really.
How come?
I just don't think that it's a portable series. I don't think that... I think that there would be a lot of lag in online play. Because you're seeing, you know, these fighting games that are even, like, on Xbox and PS2 that don't run very smoothly online.
Yeah.
Well, then... What are you thinking about Brawl?
I am worried. I am worried. Trust me. I'm still not convinced that they're going to do... You know, I would bet a lot of money that Brawl will not be 4 players online. I'm pretty sure if there is online play, it's going to be 2 players.
That would be sad.
But it's probably true.
Yeah, it'd be really sad.
You know? And so, yeah, as far as Brawl... As far as Smash Bros. On the DS goes... Obviously, if it came out, I would be super excited and I would buy it, but I think that there are other games that would be well more worth it on the DS, which is one that I brought up before, which is Pikmin. Mm-hmm. Who's, you know, the interface just, an RTS lends itself so well to the DS. And so something like Pikmin would work fairly easily. You know, Captain Olimar lands on another planet touchscreen, and now he's going to command his little Pikmin soldiers everywhere.
So are you actually commanding the Pikmin with your voice? Or?
That would be cool, but I don't know. It would be funny if you had, like, go left, and then they went left. That would be kind of cool. You know, I might be into that, but I think that, much like Nintendogs, it wouldn't be very responsive.
Well, I think the best thing about Pikmin on DS would be that, you know, instead of just pushing a button to throw them, you could actually swipe with the stylus and the speed and the distance that you swipe on the screen would determine how far you throw the Pikmin.
Mm. Yeah, could be. Let's see, other franchises we were talking about before. There was John. Didn't you say something about Wave Race?
Yes.
Wave Race on DS.
I would love Wave Race on DS. Would love
with that. Wi-Fi.
Of course, yeah.
Where's the Wi-Fi?
That's part of why I want it on DS, because Wii is not online yet. But
yeah.
Would you be happy with a Diddy Kong-style port? Or
I would
be
happy with
game?
A Diddy Kong-style port minus the crappy touchscreen controls. Yes, I would. I would, indeed, yes.
Or would you rather a new game?
Well, I'd prefer a new game, but... I don't know. I prefer 64 to Blue Storm on GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, I'm just a little afraid that if they did a new game, they would give it to NST and they'd make it more like Blue Storm, which is not a bad game, but I don't like it as much.
Right, right.
So, whatever.
Speaking of NST, 1080 is another one. Didn't they do the second one on GameCube?
They did Avalanche, yeah. They didn't do the original.
The original, I think, was EAD.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be another one that might work pretty well. You know, I'm sweating my pants off here about SSX, so snowboarding on DS is something that would definitely be, you know, up for.
Yeah, and racing games work well on DS because they're kind of short-term play experiences. You know, you can play it for 5 minutes, do a whole race, and then close it up and come back later.
Yeah, they're well-suited to pick up and play.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 1080 would be another great one. Speaking of racers, we just seem to have a bunch of them here, but F-Zero.
Totally.
Is another one. Well, yeah,
didn't they have
two or three on GBA?
Yeah.
So.
They did three.
Two on GBA.
There was
one
that
came
out
in America.
Yeah, there was GP Legend, I think, is the one that didn't come out in the U.S.
No, that one did. Climax didn't.
Climax didn't, that's right, that's right.
And maximum velocity.
Yeah, whatever one launched.
Maximum
velocity.
And wasn't that one not that good?
I bought. Yeah, yeah.
It's not as good as the original.
Not as good as the original.
I thought it was.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, The fact that I was playing it on a Game Boy was amazing.
Everyone's kind of has launch glasses in that one. And are there any other franchises that you guys might be looking forward to, or you know, hope that they're going to be coming out with soon?
Pale?
Any Pale? Maybe.
Man, I'd love it'd be a good outlet for Kid Icarus, in the same way that the Wii would be. Johnny totally set me up for that because he hates the game, but I loved that game. I loved everything about it. I play it like constantly on Virtual Console now. So all those people that say it's too hard and it's not a good game,
I would love for Nintendo to have a chance to redeem themselves on that series and make a good one. So I'm down for it too, man.
There is a reason why the series isn't around anymore, you know.
But I get. I totally disagree. It uses, I don't know, all the complaints I hear I think are features, but that's just me. All the stuff about spawning enemies, like there's strategy. Right, you don't want to kill them because more will come.
Honestly, my number one Nintendo series that needs to be on DS is Metroid.
Mm-hmm. But it is on but it is
Hunters
on DS.
Does not count.
Hunters is totally a real Metroid game, Johnny. What are you thinking?
Hunters is totally a great online first-person shooter. It is totally not a Metroid game in any way, shape, or form.
John, did you ever see the ending? I'm still trying to see the ending.
I played through about 90% of single player
to the end and see
the last
it.
Bit of it. It was just torturous to get that far, really. I forced myself because I was reviewing it.
I saw it, though. Guys, I did see it on YouTube. But yeah, so Metroid Prime Hunters was not much of a Metroid game. It's funny, when I got the game, I was kind of like, this is awesome for like the first hour. And then once I got over the fact that, you know, oh my god, Metroid in 3D on DS, once that kind of wore off, I didn't care much.
I would love for that same development team at NST. And I know they've made Mario vs. Donkey Kong 2, and they've done several things since then, but I would love for them to make a new first-person shooter with that same technology, but you can't call it a Metroid game when it has nothing to do with the Metroid series whatsoever.
It could be a Kid Icarus game. No. Might make it better.
Kid Icarus is a first-person shooter. Mm,
oh, yeah.
Might be an improvement.
Believe.
Yeah.
I still can't believe you guys don't
like
that.
Let's see. Any other... Well, I could think of games that were like Nintendo exclusives that I'd like to see on DS, but, you know, I don't know what I think. I'd like to see Beautiful Joe come back to DS and be there, you know, correct.
Well, I thought the first one was pretty good.
Double Trouble, or...
Yeah, whatever it is. Is it not?
I heard bad things about it, and seeing as how I was tortured through Red Hot Rumble, I just didn't have it in me.
Yeah, but the one for DS is like a real Beautiful Joe game. It's not a fighting game or whatever.
It is, but it's apparently it was early on in that you know that first year of the DS where everything was, you know, blow into the microphone to go forward.
Oh god.
You know, which is not my cup of tea exactly. It's strange as far as the DS goes. My favorite games for the DS are the ones that use the touchscreen the least, or the ones that could be there totally without the touchscreen. Like Mario Kart DS.
Have you played Kirby Canvas Curse?
I haven't.
You need to, because that will change your mind about the touchscreen. And yeah. Windon also. I know, I mean, you can't...
Oh, yeah, Leap Beat Agents I love, and that could not be on any other system.
Yeah, so
but
Kirby also is a fantastic example. It's really a shame they took a step backwards with the second Kirby game for DS.
Well, I think that... Was it still HAL who made that one?
I don't know. It might have been Flagship, because they've made some of them. But
yeah, so maybe, you know, HAL is, you know, hard at work on whatever the heck they're making next.
Smash Brothers.
Well, that's Masahiro Sakurai is with, you know, quote unquote Sora, which you know we don't really know much about.
Yeah.
But you know, the series haven't come to DS yet. You know, everyone kind of assumes, you know, that whenever a new Nintendo console comes out, they're like, awesome. This is how many games are going to be sequels on DS, or on Wii, or on, you know, the next Nintendo console. It's kind of like a new Nintendo console equals at least a dozen games. Because it's going to be an update for every one of their series. But one of the things I've really appreciated about the DS is that it's brought a lot of new stuff. A lot of new franchises. And
even
a lot of
from
potential.
Nintendo.
Yeah, even from Nintendo. Yeah. Like, you know, for example, Oendon / Elite Beat Agents, which is a great series that I hope, you know, maybe comes to consoles one day.
Hmm.
maybe not tapping, but maybe they can set up the rhythm in some other fashion. Maybe you can map it to the Wiimote in some way. That would be something I would definitely be interested in. Or, you know, another, you know, everything that came out of, I think it's pronounced Sing, C-I-N-G,
yeah.
Like Hotel Dusk,
yeah.
Could totally work on Wii.
Would it, you know, I don't know if it would be as nearly as appealing, though.
Would it?
I don't know.
I think it would be.
Really?
Yeah, because the touchscreen functionality on Hotel Dusk is minimal. Really.
Yeah, it's not that. It's the fact that it's portable.
Well, it's a graphic. It's a interactive graphic novel. I mean,
yeah. It's
completely story based. So I don't think that really makes it pick up and play.
I think people are a lot more apt to play a game like Hotel Dusk when it's in their spare time. They're sitting in the car or on the bus or whatever. Than they would be to sit down in front of their TV and boot up a system and, like, that is their home entertainment experience.
I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I played plenty of point-and-click adventures on my computer back then. It doesn't bother me. I don't know. I'm still waiting for the Wii game where I'll be lounging on my couch playing with one hand
well,
and not
know,
have any
play.
Stress. That's just...
sort of. I don't know. If you want a bad game to relax and play. But yeah, we've gone way off the deep end here, and we're kind of hitting our time limit. So I think that ought to wrap it up for episode 42 of Radio Free Nintendo. It's the week of GDC, and by the time this goes up, we'll probably have some coverage up. You know, whether or not the thing holds true about Nintendo not having any information, we'll probably know by the time this podcast goes up. But enjoy the speculation anyway. Alright guys, again, you know, if you want to send us mail, go to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com and please review us at iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, even if you don't think we deserve 5 stars, because...
Just lie.
Just lie, because, face it, come on.
Help a brother out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Hey, and also,
if you
have any friends who are interested in video games and Nintendo and they don't already listen, you know, you should send them a link or whatever. Share
totally.
The love.
And something I did not mention that I meant to mention earlier is, you know, Nintendo World Report is now 8 years old.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we should all sing happy birthday.
No?
Don't we have to pay somebody if we do that?
No copyrighted music, man.
No copyrighted music. All right, whatever. I guess I'll be the one who sings happy birthday in my sleep, maybe. And that's the end of the episode. Anticlimactic, this time on RFN.
Hells yeah.
Later, everybody. Come back next time when Mike will be back.
Maybe.
Sort of. As will Wendy. He hasn't been on the last couple episodes. Right. Bye, everybody.
Okay, see ya.